1 Samuel chapter 2, this is the prayer of Hannah after she has been promised that she's going to have the baby. She hasn't been able to have a baby, so she's prayed to God and she's going to have baby Samuel. Hannah prayed, "The Lord has filled my heart with joy. How happy I am because of what he's done. I can now laugh at my enemies. How rejoicing I am because God has helped me. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none like him. No protector like our God. Stop your boasting. Be quiet, you proud tongue. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and he judges all that people do." Well, if you remember, there were two women in this marriage with Elkanah. There was Hannah and Peninnah, and Peninnah had children and Hannah didn't. And Peninnah used to be really cruel in teasing Hannah. And, okay, so now Hannah's had or going to have this baby, but she gets rather bitter, I feel, with the other wife. Although Peninnah has been very bad to her, she's like sort of rejoicing against her. And it's one thing to get an answer from God and to know that God has heard me, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's payback time and I can pay back my enemies. "The bows of even the strongest soldiers are broken, but the weak," that's like Hannah, "grow strong. The people who once were well fed now hire themselves out to get food, but the hungry are no longer hungry. The childless wife has borne 7 children, but the mother of many," this is Peninnah, "is left with none." I don't know what that means, whether the children of Peninnah died, or whether that is what Hannah wishes on her rival Peninnah, that may your kids die. And she says the childless wife, that's Hannah, has now had 7 children. Well, when you actually count up the number of children that Hannah's recorded as having, including Samuel, it's 6, not 7. So I do think that she's getting a bit carried away here, rejoicing against your enemy. And you shouldn't do that. We are told also in the scriptures to not rejoice when our enemy falls. And I think that Hannah is rather weak in this. "The Lord kills and restores to life. He sends people to the grave and brings them back again. He makes men poor and makes rich. He humbles some and makes others great. He lifts up the poor from the dust heap, and he raises the needy out of their misery. He makes them companions of princes and puts them in places of honor. The shields of the earth belong to the Lord. On them he has built the world. He protects the lives of those who are faithful to him, but the wicked disappear into darkness. A man will not triumph in his own strength. The Lord's enemies will be destroyed. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the world and will give power to his king. He will make his chosen king victorious." Well, as I say, although Mary in the New Testament alludes to this song when she is rejoicing over being pregnant with Jesus, I think, in my opinion, Hannah is rejoicing against her enemy, Peninnah. And as I say, I don't think that's how we should be. You should not rejoice when your enemy falls. And she seems to be rather full of herself that I'm going to have 7 children now. Well, she doesn't actually have 7. She has 6, as if God just brings her short a little bit of what she imagined. So Elkanah went back home to Ramah, but the boy Samuel stayed in Shiloh and served the Lord under the priest Eli. Well, Samuel was very young. He was really little, because it was only when she had stopped herself breastfeeding him that she takes him immediately up to Eli at the sanctuary in Shiloh. But it says here that he served the Lord. So a child, even of Samuel's age, and he probably wasn't 5 years old, a child can still serve the Lord. But the sons of Eli were very bad men. So there's this young boy Samuel, just probably not even 5 years old, growing up, looked after by Eli, whose sons were really bad men. So he didn't have any positive role models. He didn't have good examples around him. So I think the fact that Samuel does turn out a great believer and servant of God is really commendable, because he did not have good examples around him. So the sons of Eli were bad men. They did not pay attention to Yahweh, nor to the laws about what the priests ought to demand from the people, but instead If a man came to offer his sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged fork, and while the meat was still cooking, he would stick the fork into the cooking pot, and whatever the fork brought out, the priest took. All the Israelites who came up to Shiloh to offer sacrifices to God were treated like this. And also, even before the fat had been taken off the sacrifice and burnt, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was offering the sacrifice, "Give me some meat for the priest so that he can roast it. He won't accept just boiled meat from you, but only raw meat." And if the man said, "No, we must first of all give the fat to God, and then the priest takes what he wants," the priest's servant would say, "No, give it to me right now, and if you don't, I will grab it from you." So the idea was that they were to offer the fat of the offerings to God, because the fat was seen as the best. And yet the priests wanted the fat for themselves. And so they said to people who were coming to offer their animals, "Nope, give me the raw meat which has got the fat on it, because I want the best for me." The sin of these sons of Eli was very awful in God's eyes, because it led to other people treating the offerings of the Lord with disrespect. This is a trouble with sin, that it stops other people wanting to serve God. So it was against this awful background that Samuel grew up. Meanwhile, the child Samuel served the Lord. So again, he was a child, but he served the Lord. And he wore the holy ephod. It's like an apron made of linen. Every year, his mother would make a little robe and take it to him when she came with her husband to offer their annual, that's every year, sacrifice. And she would have thought, "I wonder how big he's grown this year. I wonder how big I should make this." And so Eli was really using Samuel as a priest, even when he was very small. And you could say that wearing this linen ephod means that he sort of said, "Oh, well, you do what the high priest is supposed to do, Samuel." And Samuel was just a kid. Well, you can see how bad it was, really. There was no real attention to God's word. And yet, Samuel was different. And it's very different. It's very difficult to be separate to God when the other people in the church or amongst the people of God are acting badly. You think of Daniel when he was in captivity, how he refused to drink the king's wine and drink and eat the king's meat. Well, the other Jews, the other Jewish boys he was with, for the most part, did. But dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. And the point is, it's very difficult to be different when the other people amongst the children of God are acting wrongly. And Daniel was different, and so was Samuel. And that's an example to us. I don't mean that we should be cranky and critical of our brothers and sisters, but there are times when they do not do the right thing, and you have to do what's right before God. Even if you stand with your back to the world, even if everybody thinks you're extreme or foolish, unnecessary, difficult, okay, that's what they think, but it's what God thinks that is important. And God calls us to be strong individuals, not cranky and difficult, but strong individuals. So, Eli used to bless Elkanah and his wife and say to Elkanah, "May the Lord give you yet more children by this woman to take the place of this one, Samuel, whom you've dedicated to him." And after that, they'd go home. And the Lord did bless Hannah, and she had three more sons and two daughters. The boy Samuel grew up in the service of the Lord. Well, as I say, she had three more sons. She had Samuel as well, that's four, plus two daughters. So she had six children. But there she is when she gets pregnant with Samuel and has Samuel. She's boasting to Peninnah, "I'm going to have seven children." No, 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 no. And she actually only has six, as I said. Eli was now very old. He heard everything his sons were doing, and that they were even sleeping with the women who worked at the entrance of the tabernacle. And so he said to them, "Why do you do these things? Everyone's telling me about all the evil that you're doing. Stop it. This is awful that the people of the Lord are talking like this about you. If a man sins against another man, God may defend him, but if a man sins against the Lord, he has no defender." They would not listen to their father, for the Lord wished to slay them. And the child Samuel continued to grow and to grow in favour both with God and with man. It's exactly the phrase used about Jesus as he grew up. Well, a prophet came to Eli with a message from Yahweh. When your father Aaron and his family were slaves of the king of Egypt, I revealed myself to Aaron, and from all the tribes of Israel I chose his family to be my priests, to serve me, to burn the incense, to serve at my altar, and to wear the linen ephod. And I gave them the right to keep a part of the sacrifices offered on the altar. So why then are you so greedy, grabbing from these sacrifices and offerings that which belongs unto me? Why, Eli, do you honour your sons more than me? By letting them fatten themselves on the best parts of all the sacrifices my people offer. I, Yahweh, God of Israel, have promised that your family and your tribe would serve me as priests for all time. But now I say that this shall not continue. I am going to honour those who honour me, and I will despise those who despise me. So the time is coming when I will kill all the young men in your family and in your tribe, so that no man in your family will live to be an old man. You're going to be troubled, and you will enviously look on all the blessings that I will give to the other people of Israel, but none in your family will live to old age. But I will keep one of your descendants alive, and he will serve me as priest, but he will become blind and lose his hope, and all your other descendants will die a violent death. And your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, will both die on the same day, and this will show you that all that I have said shall come to pass. I will choose me a priest who will be faithful to me and do according to my will, and I will give him descendants who will serve in the presence of my chosen king. Any of your descendants who survive will have to go up to that priest and beg him for money and food, and beg to be allowed to help the priests just in order to have something to eat. So you may think, well, Eli did criticize his sons. He did say, come on, boys, what are you doing? But then God comes to him and says, Eli, you allowed your sons to do this. So on a surface level, you can say, oh, I disagree with this, that, or the other. Yes, yes, that's very wrong. When actually, you're just saying the words. And that's what Eli was doing, because God is going to appear to Samuel in chapter 3 and tell him to go and tell Eli that Eli is going to be judged because of what he did. And yet, Eli says to his sons, oh, you know, boys, you shouldn't be doing this. This is very bad. But then he also benefits from it. It says that they made themselves fat on the sacrifices. And when Eli dies, he dies by falling off a bench backwards and breaking his neck. And the record says, and he was a very fat man. Well, here it says that they were fat because they ate all the fat off the sacrifices that was meant to be given to God. So, on a surface level, you can say, oh yes, I don't agree with that. Yeah, that's really wrong. But actually, you don't actually change. And that's the lesson of Eli, because God condemns Eli in very strong terms for not restraining his sons when apparently he did talk to them.